The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial future. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you have advisors you're working with today or you do everything on your own, we'd like you to consider this radio program another place for some great information.
Or whether you're just starting or you've been a long-time investor, give us a call. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON.
And as I, the other day I'm driving, it was like about 1:30 in the afternoon Pacific time. So the markets close at 1 o'clock. The stock market closed at 1 o'clock. And I hear on the radio, the news report, stock market plummeted 55 points.
Plummeted 55 points. Holy smokes.
Plummeted. And I started thinking, you know, if the NASDAQ was down 55 points, that'd be a little more than 2%. That wouldn't be too good. If the S&P 500, actually the NASDAQ, that would be about 1%. The S&P 500 would be down about 2.5%. Yeah, that might be a plummeted, maybe.
A pullback. Plummet's a big word. Plummet is a big word. I actually very rarely have the chance to use the word plummet in my vocabulary.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up now. But if you think about this, so a 55-point decline where the market is today is about 1/3 of 1%.
That is a plummet.
That is normal.
1/3 of 1% would be a normal.
Very normal.
Yeah.
And so we had some pretty good volatility in the month of September. Then we had October. If we're talking about the stock market, October is one of the best Octobers has been. Octobers are supposed to be bad months.
Well, I never put any credence to that, nor do you.
Months are
supposed to be good or bad.
But in any case, and I saw the other day some headline where predicting a 1,000-point decline in the market. And I'm thinking, well, that could easily happen.
That's not a big deal.
Matter of fact, if you go look back historically, we've seen a market decline. We're looking at the broad stock market. And the reason we're talking about this is a financial program, and most people have some of their life savings tied in the stock market. If it's your 401k or IRA, there's probably a good portion of your stock market.
If you're getting a pension from someone, a company, a government.
Good portions in stock there as well. But historically, we've seen the stock market decline 10% about every 9 months. So a 10% decline should happen on an annual basis. That's a very normal thing. And historically, stocks have lost money about one out of every 3 years. That's just kind
that's
of a
normal
course of the action. So my only point of bringing this up was when you hear some of these news reports,
Don't pay too much attention.
Yeah. And as the markets grow higher, that number is going to get larger and larger and larger. Because there's no stock splits for the Dow.
That is correct.
Like a company will split.
The stocks do not split. And the companies in the Dow change on a regular basis.
But
trying to represent the broader markets.
But you never see like Apple did, a 7-for-1 split a while back. If the Dow did that, the Dow could do that to get it back to a smaller number all the
time. That's a good point.
It started at 100 when it originally
came out.
Yeah,
11 stocks, 9 of them railroads.
So, anyway, we've got a fantastic
Speaking
program.
Speaking of Apple.
Yeah.
We're an Apple family.
What does that mean?
We use Apple devices in the family.
Can you understand your phone bill, by the way? Have you ever looked at the phone bill? Oh my!
I'm married to an accountant, so I have.
I don't think she can understand the phone bill. It's worse than financial bills. I mean, if you look at your mutual fund statement, try to figure that one out.
They're hard to read.
It's worse.
The phone. I'm going to admit, as a financial advisor, I have not balanced a checkbook since I actually started dating my wife. She is an accountant by education. She's great at it. She pays all of the bills. I have not seen a phone bill. I have no idea how much our phone bill is.
So she could be siphoning money off in a separate account somewhere, maybe a little offshore account, slowly building it up over the years, just waiting for the right moment.
Good for her.
Nice.
So, but I It seems like once a week they I get this upgrade your Apple system something. And it, for whatever reason, I shouldn't complain. I'm complaining about my cell phone. That's so first world.
I do know what you're talking about, though. You have to upgrade it, and then they change things, and you have to relearn it every time.
Yeah.
I've learned to actually make sure I've got time set aside now. So before it would just, I'll get it done.
Yeah, no, you can't.
And then if you go throughout the day and you haven't looked at stuff, now they want you to do some tutorial and things have changed and it's...
Well, I actually got a new phone because mine separated, the glass actually separated from. And so I went to the store and I said, hey, and they said, well, this is the latest one. And I said, I don't actually want the latest one. I just want the same one I had before. He said, well, they no longer make that.
The same phone?
Yes.
One of those, well, like the big bag you got to carry around with it, the gigantic mobile phone?
I just said, it worked fine. It's just broken.
20 years ago, I had the cord to the,
I said, give
like
me the
giant purse thing you'd carry around. It was the phone itself.
Give me
the
oldest Apple product you sell. I don't need anything brand new or fancy.
And that is why McLean has all the money, because he doesn't spend his dollars. Anyway, this is a financial program. We're talking about all kinds of things. And we'd love to take your calls throughout the program. If you've got a question regarding anything in your financial world, saving for retirement, trying to figure out if you can afford to retire today, looking at about Social Security, looking at taxes, figuring out the best way to reduce your taxes, should you refinance your mortgage, you've got a rental property, trying to figure anything that's in your financial world, would love to help you on. Our contact number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, if you want to call numerically, it's 1-888-2, what is this?
What are you?
4-4-6.
Are you trying to read it off your phone?
I know. I used to have it written down. I am trying to read it
off your phone. This is embarrassing.
Huh?
It's a little embarrassing.
What are you talking about? I should be more prepared for that?
Yes.
I'm prepared for lots of things in your life. All right. So look.
So just figure it out yourself. 1-888-2-HANSON.
I thought this was a fascinating study, the story I read recently. So the question, Pat, that I'd have for you is, do you think people find more satisfaction when they spend money on things or spend money on experiences?
I would think it would be dependent upon your age, the older you are, but you're probably just looking for a simple answer, aren't you? I'm going to say experiences.
They didn't break it down that way.
I'm going to say experiences.
But it's interesting. There was a study done out of Dr. Thomas Gilovich from Cornell, who did a pretty exhaustive study on this, and found that people find more satisfaction when they spend money on experiences than on things.
That would make sense.
And there's a couple reasons for that. One is the newness of something.
Wears.
I mean, it's not so exciting after a while. You get a new car, it's always fun for a while, and 4 months later, it's just the car. You don't really think about it much anymore. It's the newness wears off.
Yeah.
But when it comes to experiences, we tend to remember those experiences, and they tend to stick with us. Also, every experience is unique. So where you might be able to,
product.
You buy a new car and you like it until you see the brand new Ferrari pull up next to you and you realize that maybe you would have rather had that Ferrari. But experiences are, because every experience is unique. Furthermore, experiences we tend to do with other people.
Not by yourself, in products or, yes.
So the study really said, look, people have a greater happiness when they spend their money on experiences than material things. But here's why it's almost counter, because if you think about it, as a kid, I remember my parents, don't waste your money on that. Where's all your money? Well, you spend it out go-karting with your friend again? You guys spent the money go-karting? Yeah, I spent my money You shouldn't waste your money on frivolous things like that.
You should buy
something that's going to last.
Which is
this, according to this doctor of psychology, my parents were completely wrong.
Well,
they loved me, yes. Wrong, yes, were wrong.
Maybe. But the mere fact of high-end stores and restaurants will tell you that it's the experience. In fact, shopping in a high-end, what they're selling is the experience of shopping, not necessarily the product.
You got a good point, don't you? And then when you buy that overpriced handbag, you probably wouldn't, Pat, nor would I, but someone buys some overpriced thing, you reflect back on that experience you had.
It's the experience of shopping.
which is not quite the same experience you have when you go to Costco, for example.
Which, by the way, my favorite store.
But it's a consistent experience, I suppose.
Yes.
Anyway, I just thought it was a fascinating study and something to think about. As we all make choices with our dollars, there's clearly nothing wrong with using money to buy experiences. And particularly if you're retired at that stage in life, getting older, and you've got plenty of assets. Oftentimes, we encourage people at that point in life to, you can't take it with you, so you might want to.
Yeah, family trips is what we encourage the clients to. It's the whole family together, go on a trip.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have my whole family together. No. I'm kidding. It's a bad joke. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking some calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSEN or at moneymatters.com.
Taking the financially complex and making it simple. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSEN.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on this weekend as Thanksgiving's coming up this week as well.
Yes. And we have lots of people coming to our house.
We always have lots of people at our house.
Yeah. We have 28 people coming.
We don't have 28 people. You have 28 people?
Well, including
28 people. 28. I didn't know you knew that many. I didn't think you had that many friends.
It's actually it's friends.
Your wife's family.
It's my wife's family and then some of their friends. So it's not. I don't know them.
Any of your family?
Two, and then their friends. So this will be fun.
It's my wife's family.
Your wife's family?
Yeah, usually. That's how it works.
Is it? Yeah, I get it. I understand.
But I'm taking charge of cooking the turkey this year. My wife had a minor back-ish surgery thing going on. Anyway, so I am taking charge of the whole thing.
We're cooking prime rib.
On Thanksgiving?
Yes.
That's un-American.
My point is, if turkey was so good, cooked like that, why do we eat it only one day a year?
You have it only one day a year?
Like, when you cook a turkey, what do you cook a turkey every month like that?
I gave it a couple of weeks. It's always just turkey time. No, you've got to. It's so hard to cook. You've got to baste it. And I don't even know what I'm doing.
Truly, if it was really that good, wouldn't we eat it more often?
I have turkey sandwiches all the time.
But it's not the same.
It is the same. It's come from the bird, the fowl thing.
Anyway, it'll be good times.
All right, we better take some calls here and not just sit and chat about our own lives. But we do find our lives interesting.
Well, I hope everyone finds their own life interesting.
Their own life?
Yeah, I hope
so. Well, you meet the people that don't.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. All right, let's talk to Don here. Don, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, hello, this is Don.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling on behalf of a friend of mine. Her name's Janet. She lives in Cameron Park. When she was 66, we went down to the Social Security office, and she was married for 20 years, long-term marriage, and her husband, ex-husband, she has no contact with him. But anyway, what we did, she's drawing on half on his and leaving hers in deep freeze until
Beautiful.
She's 70 and switching over.
Beautiful.
And get the incremental 8% per annum increase. Are they gonna do away with that strategy with this new Social Security changes with the within the budget, the federal budget that they signed?
Absolutely. They just made changes to Social Security that will impact. If she wasn't receiving benefits today yet, it could certainly impact him. So,
but it won't have any effect on her because she's already receiving the benefits.
Yeah, you know, she's doing a, I mean, it was a benefit we weren't even aware of. I happened to read about it. We went down there when she was full retirement age at 66 to do this, and I'm wondering how many people aren't even aware of this.
Yeah, so basically what she did, instead of filing for her own benefits, she filed as a spousal benefit as a divorcee, correct?
Exactly.
And then what she did is allowed her own benefit to continue growing until age 70. At age 70, she will switch over to her own benefit.
You got it. Exactly.
Yeah. So she can continue to do that because she was had already started it. But the law is, so she's all good on that.
Great.
Yeah. All right?
Appreciate it very much.
All right.
Thank you for the information.
And I know we chatted about this last week, but I want to kind of finish up on some things here because
So when he said he didn't even know it, I can think of instances where that people were getting Social Security or about to get Social Security, and I stopped them. One was a lady I was talking to, her husband had died years before, and so she's eligible at age 60. So she started taking
it's a
widow's benefit. She had no idea. In fact, she was with another investment advisor. Subsequently moved her account to our firm. And another one I remember is I was talking to this gentleman. He was talking about raising his grandchildren. I said, well, why don't you just adopt them? And he said, why? What would be the benefit of adopting? I said, are you raising? He said, they will live with me until.
Yeah, over age 60.
And he was. So I said, so they get Social Security benefits. And sure enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
If,
for example, Pat, how old are you today?
I'm actually 53 this
week.
Thank you.
If you chose to have more kids today,
yes.
When you are retired and start collecting retirement benefits, your children your new kids could get collect Social Security.
That absolutely, and let's hope that that doesn't come to pass.
But having more kids at age 53,
yeah,
it is kind of crazy how Social Security has changed so much.
Oh, and it will continue to change. It will continue to change. There is no question. There is. So even if you look at part of the presidential debates and the conversations that are going back and forth, they touch on Social Security, but they don't, spend a lot of time, not just the debates, but through the whole, process.
Well, there's clearly going to be changes to the Social Security Administration. Yeah. That
has to be.
Yeah, we know that's going to happen just because.
Real quick,
so this law that changed, essentially it impacts those who are trying to take advantage of what Don just talked about, going after a spousal or even a divorce, previous spouse's benefit, while you allow your own to continue to grow. That's going to be a thing of the past. If you're 66 or if you'll be 66 by the time you're May 1st of next year, you can still take advantage of these provisions. And if you're age 62 or older by the end of this year, once you reach age 66, you can collect a spousal benefit.
You did a webinar on this.
Yeah, I did.
Did you do a webinar? I haven't seen it. I should see it, but it's on moneymatters.com. I'm going to go to moneymatters.com and look at the webinar.
There's actually a webinar. There's that webinar on Social Security. There's also a good webinar we did on stock market gyrations. Don't let this. What did we call that thing?
I don't remember.
See, we should know that, too. There's things they don't even know.
We should go to our website, moneymatters.com. MoneyMatters.com, and there's one, Stock Market Gyrations. Don't let the gyrations ruin your retirement, I think is something
stock
like that.
Stock Market Fluctuations. We put it out when the markets were a little more spooky.
But
it's
a good reminder.
It is a good reminder. We're talking about how the markets go through these ups and downs. That is, if you want to know a little more about history and how these things work, and what I find, look, when it comes to investing, so much is having the proper expectations, right? Because if you were told that tomorrow morning there was going to be a foot of snow on the ground, if it had predicted there was a storm coming, of course, they always predict these big storms that don't seem to happen, but let's just assume. There was a storm. You could see it on Doppler and the nightly news would show you here it's coming, and you knew it was going to be really cold and it was going to dump snow. You woke up in the morning and throughout Northern California there was a foot of snow on the ground.
Your expectations?
You wouldn't be shocked. It would be, oh, of course there's snow. This is what I thought was going to happen. But people go into their investments without realistic expectations so often.
As to how they're going to perform.
Yes. they don't really understand. They might have an some advisor or financial salesperson tell them a story that may or may not be correct on it. So they might say, oh, you could expect that this will return this kind of investment, this kind of performance on a monthly basis or an annual basis. And having the right kind of – so, look, if you have a diversified portfolio and you go through some education and you understand that it's realistic that this diversified portfolio can fall 15%.
When it falls 15%.
It's not going to be a big shock.
Yes.
And we use some tools.
They're not going to be happy about it.
Well, of course not.
But, yeah, we use tools to test the portfolios in market conditions. Actually, go to our website, moneymatters.com.
Now it's sounding like...
I know it sounds like a commercial, but we put the tools on there for people to use.
Our Money Matters stress test.
The Money Matters, you could stress test your own portfolio. Yeah. You could do it.
But our point is that so often it's having the right kind of expectations. And oftentimes you'll see a financial salesperson, particularly if they're a commissioned salesperson, unlike... like a firm like us, we're active fiduciaries and
we're fee-based.
Other independent advisor. But if you look at someone who gets paid a commission, they have an objective to sell you a product because they get paid when they sell you a product. Typically, you'll see that if you go to the bank, most bank brokers are commission-based. They get paid a commission when they sell you a product. A lot of the old-time stockbrokers at the big firms are commission-based salespeople. They get paid a commission when they sell you a product.
You talked about one yesterday where someone came into the office and had a couple weeks ago, about someone that came in the office and had 11 index annuities. I had not heard that story.
Yeah, but I already shared it. My point is,
that was
last week's program. You got to go get the podcast if you missed it. You were there too.
Were you
not part of the show that week?
I know.
Can you remind me again?
On the way home from the show, I was mortified that happened to someone. Mortified. Anyway.
Is mortified the right term? Isn't it kind of a self? Isn't mortified when you kind of beat on yourself?
I don't know. I'm just a business major.
The point back to when someone is earning a commission. They have an incentive to get you into that product. Sometimes they might paint a picture that may not be reality.
And they get paid all up front. So the outcome, while I'm sure they hope well for you, doesn't really matter to them.
And because their compensation is not tied to whether or not you're going to stick with that investment, they're not necessarily incentivized to talk about what can go wrong with the investment. So, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody have a certain expectation with an investment product, whether it's a mutual fund. They say, well, this guy told me that it's averaged 11% the last 48 years since its inception.
It might have.
It doesn't mean it's going to earn 11% every year, obviously.
Yes.
Or it might have been an equity index annuity that some annuity salesperson was pitching that said, oh, you will get... when the stock market goes up, you're going to participate in the up. And when it goes down, you won't have any losses. And they say, well, the market was up 28%. How come mine was only up 8 or 10%? Because they didn't have an incentive.
They didn't understand it. Either the person selling it was withholding information or may not have understood it themselves.
So it is truly so important for you to have a good understanding of how your investments are going to react in a variety of different times. Because what we see as investment advisors, we see people make emotional decisions, both when the markets are going up, they make emotional decisions at the wrong time, and when things are going down. And if you go back to the financial crisis that we all experienced several years ago, the people that got burned, besides those that were over-leveraged on homes, the people that got burned with their stock market investments or their bonds were primarily those that sold at the bottom.
They didn't hold through. And naturally, it was one of the worst pullbacks we have seen in history. But even still, had you stuck with your investment strategy going in and stayed with it, you would have been fine. In fact, more than fine.
But a lot of it, people did not have any sort of expectation. Had you looked at history, what happened in the 70s, 1973 to 1974, what happened during not only the market crash of 1929, but during the 1930s, looked at some other periods of time, you probably have a better proper expectation.
On our website, moneymatters.com, there is a portfolio stress test that you can stress your own portfolio under different market conditions.
Yeah.
And some. While you're there, sign up. I'm going to commercial now for my
you
website.
Are. Keep going and going. Sign up for what?
For the weekly email.
Oh, yeah.
Because the weekly email delivers webinars to you.
How do you sign up? I think.
You go on the website.
Do you sign up for that there?
Yes, you sign up for it there.
Or does it, when you access something, it gives you an opportunity to, I don't know.
You can
it
do
works.
Both.
That newsletter that we put out every, it is a good newsletter, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
We work on the thing, and yeah. You know, we're kind of proud of it anyway. We yeah. think it's good.
So moneymatters.com.
So back to the commission broker type thing. If you work with a fee-based investment advisor, someone who's a registered investment advisor, someone who's a fiduciary, they have to have you as an investor, as a client for a long period of time. So they're going to have a vested interest to make sure you have a good understanding of what's going to happen both in good times and in bad times. Well, the clock's knocking right here, so we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue on. To join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McLean Financial Advisor. At Hanson McLean Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McLean Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McLean today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Back to one of the longest running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And before we go back to the calls here, and we will get to you. And by the way, if you'd like to join us, anything financially related, maybe it's your retirement, maybe you're trying to figure out what's a realistic expectation as far as a return going forward.
Maybe it's asset allocation. How do you mix the investments together?
Should you get out of your foreign markets right now, the foreign bond markets, whatever that might be financially? The number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. 1-888-242-6766. And 2-HANSON is with an O, like, oh my gosh, this is a good program. Oh my. I'm so glad I'm listening today.
Oh my. They really let these guys on the radio.
Oh, my, what's happened to my radio?
Oh, my.
What are these guys talking about?
These guys own a company. Oh, amazing.
So I got a text from my daughter Friday. I will be seeing her at Thanksgiving, so I'm looking
That's
forward.
Nice.
But that she says, the text said something, what was this? Something to the effect of that she has a stress management class in college. She's a college student. I guess it's a
class in stress management? Like a credited class?
That is correct.
Like you get points?
Stress management.
What liberal arts school is she going to?
As she says, Dad, if it wasn't for lacrosse, I wouldn't even be in college.
So she has a stress management. There's a whole semester class on stress management.
And I'm hoping she could teach me a thing or two, particularly when she's around because she drives me crazy.
So tell us about the stress
management. So I get a text. Our topic in stress management today is money matters.
Oh.
That was, she said her topic is money matters, and I texted back, easy A. Because you would hope it would be an easy A. But money matters was her topic. But it did get me thinking, as my daughter, when she was in third grade, a parent-teacher conference we went to, and they said, yeah, oh, your daughter's doing so well and this and that.
But.
Our first kid and all. You know, my wife and I are there early, all excited.
Your first kid and all. The second kid. What school are you going to?
You know. Is she the smartest in class? I know she's the prettiest. So,
the first kid.
They said, yeah, she's doing great in this, but she doesn't know her money.
Huh?
Like what? Yeah, she doesn't really know her quarters and dimes and nickels.
And she was what, in the ninth grade?
Third grade. My wife started laughing. She's, you know, her dad is a financial advisor. You're thinking, maybe I just really didn't want her to.
Did you?
Anyway, let's go to the calls here. We're going to talk with Ed. Ed, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
love
sir.
The show.
Thank you.
So I'm a 41-year-old teacher. My wife is a teacher as well. And we've been saving.
So wait, you're a teacher. Does a stress management class seem like an odd class to you?
It sounds like it's well needed in the teaching profession.
Well, actually, yeah, teaching is a difficult profession. I need not tell you.
Yeah.
So you've been saving money.
Been saving. We both have about $100,000 in 403Bs.
Okay.
And we got to the point where I can contribute the maximum to our 403Bs.
Okay.
So couple part questions. Should I contribute the maximum now that I'm able to, or should I fund a Roth IRA, which I don't presently do? Second part.
Okay.
Second part is my 403Bs. I have two different mutual fund companies. Should I, and about a half a dozen funds.
Okay.
Should I kind of narrow that down to maybe like the total stock market? I have a target retirement one, but should I kind of narrow that down a little bit?
All right. Good questions. Both good questions. So you're 41. Do you have kids?
No.
All right. He teaches like, I don't want any of these myself.
I got 250 a day.
Okay. So, here's the thing. Ideally, when you get to retirement, you've got a variety of different pools of dollars to access funds.
And so, by pools, we mean different tax ramifications on the withdrawals.
So it would be right. Great if at retirement time you had some money in your 403B, which is tax deferred. It's going to be taxable when you pull the money out. Ideally, right. You have some money in a Roth account, Roth IRA or Roth 401K or whatnot, a Roth where it's tax-free. Furthermore, it might be great if you had some money, assuming you had maxed those out, had some money in, say, a brokerage account or just a mutual fund that's held on the outside with some different tax ramifications, and maybe have some money in just some savings as well. So in a perfect world at retirement, you've got a variety of different places to draw money from. So you can structure things in such a manner to keep your income taxes as low as possible at retirement. That would be the perfect thing. So in your situation you're talking about here where you're already contributing to your 403B, your wife's contributing to your 403B, you're wondering, does it make sense for you to now use a Roth? I would say yes. The challenge with this, the further we are away from retirement, the more we are betting that Congress is not going to change the rules on us, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So
right.
A matter of fact, in the presidential debates that are going on, there's been some talking about a flat tax. I'm talking about a national sales tax. All kinds. There's some other kind of crazy.
Yeah,
things.
Crazy. Yeah. But this is the time of year where everything goes up the flagpole.
That's true. Right. But the one challenge with the Roth, if you get to, let's say you threw everything in the Roth, you just, man, I love this concept of tax-free income at retirement, and the whole tax structure's changed. Well, that was a bad choice on your part. So I think we'd say, look, at 41, you probably want to have 75% or 80% going into the 403B and 20% or 25% going into a Roth.
And it also depends on what state you retire in.
Yeah.
Because if you retire to a lower tax state than the state of California for the withdrawals, you would actually want the 403B and not the Roth. But you're a long way away from retirement.
Yeah. So that's a little bit down the road.
So I agree with Scott. I would do the Roth.
Okay. What about the now that I have a traditional 403B, what about starting to fund a Roth 403B instead versus the IRA, or any thoughts on that?
You know,
they do the same thing.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean,
same thing.
Yeah, they do the same thing.
The benefit of a Roth IRA is you've got more flexibility. With the 403B, you're stuck with whatever your school district says you can do. With a
right.
With a Roth IRA, you can do anything.
So, and your second question is, you hold them your investments at two different fund companies. Are you comfortable with your allocations in terms of allocating the portfolios? You seem to be.
You know, I was, when I started it, I had a great mentor that kind of got me into the investing, and I spent a lot of time researching it. And the last couple of years, I've kind of spent less time on it, and I've just kind of wrote out the choices I have in there. That's where I was kind of thinking maybe I should just lump it all into a total stock market, maybe. And that's kind of just after listening to you guys' show over the last couple
of years.
We're
talking about $200,000.
See, with $200,000, it's a big enough portfolio that you can actually have some pretty good diversification.
Yeah.
So you talked about two things. One, I mean, the total stock market index, we believe, should be a portion of your portfolio, at least some index.
And on this size of an account, you can own enough that you could get a better diversified portfolio than just the total market. So I would not recommend all of these dollars going into the total market.
Nor the target date retirement funds. There's nothing. The target dates actually can work pretty well. They're not the best. So if we love target date retirement funds, every one of our clients, our 4,000 clients, would all be in a target date retirement fund.
Well, and the problem with target date retirement funds is actually how the mutual funds actually mix their portfolios together. So they have a tendency to take less than great performing funds and put them in their target funds. And they're a little bit more expensive than a regular asset allocation as well. Can be. Most times are. So in your situation, I would actually just build a diversified portfolio. I'd probably, at 41, I'd probably go 100% equities.
Or at least 80%.
Yeah, at least 80. But if you,
you
get
25 years.
But if you get 100% equities in the portfolio, by its very nature, you're going to be about 90% just because of what is compromised inside of the mutual funds, 85 to 90.
Not if you're 95. Mostly index.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. So that's what I would do.
Awesome. Hey, great show. And I like that you guys are entertaining and educational at the same time.
Yeah, what do you teach?
What grade do you teach and what subject?
Right now I teach middle school physical education.
Good deal.
Wow, what's that like? Because you probably have a good portion of the students that enjoy those things, and then there's those that are so uncomfortable with themselves at this age that they – maybe it's worse in high school. I don't know.
It's a little bit of everything, as you can imagine. You got the kids that just – that need to move and burn off energy, and the ones that just, they don't want to burn any at all, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, keep up the great
work.
Yeah,
glad you're doing it, Ed. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Hey, all right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. Have a good
Actually, I remember my middle school PE coach, because I had first period, and I was late every day. Every day.
For middle school?
Yeah.
Didn't you get in trouble for being late?
Yeah, but it didn't matter. I don't know why I was late. It's the 7th and 8th grade. I had PE. Maybe I did it on purpose so I could be late.
So I remember in middle school, if I missed the bus, you can take, there was a high school bus that came by about 15 minutes later, and the bus drivers didn't really like you doing it, but they kind of looked the other way. But then you'd still have you'd be late for class, and you'd be tardy, and have to have a tardy slip.
Yeah.
So I'd say, hey, Dad, can you write me a note? And he'd always give me a hard time. I'm like, Scott, you got to get up earlier, son. You got to discipline. And so one day he writes me a note and says, please excuse Scott from being late for school. His digital clock was broken and he doesn't know how to read the hands on his analog clock. I'm like, Dad, I can't take that. He says, well, is that or nothing?
He took it.
I taught my son's kindergarten PE class. I went on Fridays because they, for whatever reason, the school district didn't think it was important anymore. They cut
it. So you taught it?
Yeah, I kind
of play duck, duck, goose. Or?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I would go in the gym and those little things, almost like little rolling things you roll around on. And,
yeah.
But I do remember you could kind of tell some of the athletes even at that age were like the ones that could do the sit-ups nonstop and stuff like that. Why are we talking about this? It's a financial program. We need to take a break, too. if you want to be part of the program, our contact number to join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. Hanson McLean's Money Matters, and we'll be right back.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, one head of hair.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters back with you. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And we're on this fantastic Saturday as the year is charging down to an end.
Yes.
Always good times.
Mostly.
You know what? There's already, I'm hearing Christmas jingles. The first day in November on, I was listening to iTunes Radio, because I listen to iTunes Radio, and it was...
In addition to this fine station that you're hearing this show on.
I almost always listen to this fine station.
You're hearing this show on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, so if I'm in the Bay Area, it's always KGO, or in Sacramento, it's KPK. Yes. So I don't... It's only if I have really bad signal. Sometimes
keep going.
I listen to iTunes.
Enough. Okay. Go. What's your story?
It was the day after the first day of November. I'm hearing ads for Christmas shopping. I like Christmas time of the year. I just don't like. Black Friday is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. People go out shopping. I'm not shopping. I'll tell you that much.
No.
It's not going to happen. That's the thing. The best thing about the internet, besides all the wonderful things that make my life better, and most of our lives better, is I can shop without leaving my house.
Yes.
Get all my Christmas gifts taken care of. Anyway.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, Pat. Would you like me to share some more of my life with you? I'm exposing my soul, and this is what I get.
Through commercialism.
What are you talking about?
So let's take the call. We're going to talk to Don. Don, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Hi, Don.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Awesome, Don. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic.
Good. How can we help you?
I was reaching out to you, gentlemen. I work for a very large company. I choose not to mention the name of the company. But I have a 401k plan, and we get a reduced price on the actively managed fee. But I would like your gentleman's opinion on whether or not you feel that actively managed accounts really pay off in the long run for a 401k, or would it be better just to drop all your money into index accounts?
So we're trying to understand the question.
Great question.
So in your 401k, you have options for index funds and options for some actively managed funds,
which is done by a third party, probably with the name of Financial Engines. Is that who it is?
I think it starts with an F. Yes.
Yeah, Financial Engines.
And there's a fee for
a fee for $10,000 that they manage.
Yes, correct.
So is your question, are you better off having someone help you pick? Is the question, are you better off having help picking the funds? Because active management means different things to different people.
Yes, I should have premised it a little better maybe. What it is if we go actively managed, they pick the funds that they want us to, they feel best we should be in. But if I'm not actively managed, I can still pick from the same exact fund.
That's correct. And then they rebalance the portfolio based upon different their theory of how the portfolio should look.
So that's interesting. So it's an interesting question. Is it worth paying, and what do they charge for that?
My fees run about $900 a year to manage about $280,000.
Okay, so it's relatively inexpensive.
It's inexpensive.
That is very inexpensive. So the question you have to ask yourself, could you do a better job with your asset allocation without them? And Vanguard did a study. Was it about a year ago? It was an interesting study. I'm sure you can get it on Vanguard's website, that talked about how much value can an advisor bring to an equation. So if you have a financial advisor, how much additional value can they bring? And a lot of what you've got kind of a quasi advisor.
Yeah, so what you have is not necessarily an advisor. You have is what is active asset allocation, and you're paying this $900 on the $280,000 for an active asset allocation.
So the question is, Are they doing a better job? So we had a caller, the previous caller before, he didn't really know how to pick. Didn't really know how he should be picking his investments. So he says, maybe I should use a total stock market index or a target date maturity fund. And you're, on the other hand, questioning, is it make sense for you to pay a fee to have someone pick those funds and then actively manage those funds? And a lot of it is just making sure you have the proper allocation. It's not necessarily that they're saying, oh, we think this fund is much better, or we think we should have this fund's going to do well this next quarter, so let's have more there. A lot of it is
they bring you through a risk tolerance questionnaire, yeah, and then they say you should have a portfolio that looks like X.
And minimizing as much risk as possible while doing so, which is a big piece of what they do.
And on the same note, if I didn't pay them amount of money, and if I mean, it's probably hard to see down the road, but I mean, if I just parked everything in an index fund, and which I noticed that they presently have me in three of them.
That's probably appropriate. That's probably appropriate. And you probably have 7 or 8, 9 mutual funds in the portfolio?
In the overall portfolio, I'd have to go double check to accurately answer that.
I mean, so look, if you just said, I'm going to stick 100% in the total stock market index fund, U.S. stock market index fund, and ignored everything else, there's a good chance that that would outperform whatever they're doing for you.
You would expect it to, but
that assumes
that you're going to be able to withstand all the volatility. I think it's a great idea to pay them to manage that money. That's my opinion.
And I got to roll back to what you said earlier. You said the first thing you said was, that's cheap. Is that actually fairly cheap? Because we do get a reduced price due to the size of the company.
Yes.
Actually, and I know what their rack rates are, and that's below their rack rate.
Yes. Okay. It's about 40% reduced.
Yeah, it's below their normal rate, but
It sounds like a hotel something. Rack rate?
I actually just finished a book about why Indian Americans are the largest hotel owners in the United States. Anyway, that's a different story.
American Indians?
No. From India. How they came to the country and why they are so prevalent in that industry. It's quite fascinating. Don, sorry. We've lost interest in your phone.
I have an opinion, but I'll keep it to myself.
We've lost interest in your phone call. No, I think it's a good idea to pay them. Okay. I think it's a great idea. And you're not getting financial advice as you – so don't confuse the two, because when you go to retire, you may want to actually have a financial advisor, or you may want one now. What you're paying for is active asset allocation. A financial advisor actually advises on all aspects of your financial life. All they're doing is saying, hey, for a fee, we will make sure your portfolio is allocated based upon your risk tolerance. And I assume they brought you through a little risk questionnaire in order to determine how much equities versus bonds you should have.
You guys are right on top of it. Yes. Yeah. So the first thing we did was we sat down and we discussed what my goal was at retirement.
Yeah. I actually think it's worth it.
I think it's a great idea.
My older sister her employer has a similar type of thing. And I recommend, she was thinking about quitting it. And I said, I would recommend you continue on with it.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. And I think that what you're going to see is, now they're the biggest in that industry, but there are more companies emerging to actually help the employees with the largest asset they own. So let me tell you a little bit of something about 401ks. I shouldn't be saying this in the air, but in our own company, the Department of Labor, because I'm the employer, we're not really supposed to give advice to the employees on how to allocate their 401k.
That's right.
In our own company. But I said, this is what we do for a living, and I can't help the lady sitting in that cube there manage her money. And because the government says I can't because I'm her employer, but this is what I do for a living? Anyway.
And yes, that's correct.
So what did we do? You guess. Anyway, appreciate the call, Don.
Awesome. Great. You guys have a great day.
Thanks
Don. You guess. We will see more of this. People's 401k, it's their largest life savings. Most people, the challenge is people set up their 401k. Most people set it and forget about it.
Yes.
They set it and they don't make changes. Not only that, if you go to sign up in your 401k, there's going to be a list of funds to choose from. Right? They'll start with this fund, a list of 10 funds, 20 funds, whatever the number is. Do you realize that the fund that is at the top of the list will have more assets than any other fund?
And that the mutual fund companies vie to get at the top of the list.
Now, it might not be the best investment.
It might
it's whatever's
not be
listed first.
Yes, it's because the
that's how people,
average American,
yes,
that's what they choose.
That's how people. So, first of all, using a some sort of an advisor through your employer to help with the allocation.
Now, and the same employer probably provides tools on the website. You can do the allocation yourself and rebalance the portfolio. So the question is,
but we
will
also
you?
See,
will you?
And oftentimes, studies have shown people make the wrong choices at the wrong times.
Yeah, most people never rebalance a portfolio when the markets are up, which is when you really want to be rebalancing your portfolio.
Yeah, because what it does is forces you to sell when things are up, but nobody wants to sell when things are up.
Yeah.
Because they're going to keep going higher. And they don't want to sell when they're going down.
Yeah.
Because now it's low. You don't want to sell now.
So it's actually 100% contrary to what most people think. So before we go, moneymatters.com, our website. Sign up for our weekly email address. Stress test your portfolio if you wish. Or go and watch the Social Security workshop that we talked about earlier. And to find out if your broker is the right or your advisor is the right person for you, we have a webinar called Liars, Levies, and Lawsuits, the things that you should know about your financial advisor.
Yeah, a bunch of those webinars. There's also some great other tools on there. We've got the 9 Biggest Worries ebook. We have the 7 Personal Decision Point
webinar and ebook.
All kinds of great stuff on there. So when you're having Thanksgiving with the family and you're a little bored talking to some family members, you can just go on moneymatters.com. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McLean Financial Advisor. At Hanson McLean Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McLean Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McLean today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.